a very dark fact. This guy Ramsey was born around the turn of the century, and he died in 1930, so he's only 26, and he was like a super genius. He did all this stuff, and we named this entire like math based on him, and he only wrote like one math paper. But it was important enough that now tons and tons of people study Ramsey theory. So that's what I'm talking about today. And he had jaundice, so watch out. Don't get jaundice is the moral of that story. Alright, so Ramsey theory has a lot to do with combinatorics, but what we're going to be doing today is working with graphs. Are we familiar with graphs? Yeah. We're going to talk about it anyway. So, a graph, and I'm going to do a definition by picture here, is a set of vertices, which are just dots or nodes, and then edges, which are lines in between them. So this is sort of a very fundamental object of study in math, in discrete math. It's super useful in computer science. Basically, anytime you have a network, anytime any data has any sort of relationship in between things. So you could say, when you're on a plane or something and there's that map of where things can fly to, that's an example of a graph. Like, there will be a line from here to Amsterdam because you can fly there, but there won't be a line from here to, I don't know, Missouri, Kansas City or something, because there's no flights that way. So what graphs can do is they can tell you how to connect things as well. Lots of information in graphs. Graph theory is a huge thing. They're also helpful. You can think about, like, you know, the interstate. That would be an example of a graph. You can see, like, Austin to Houston, there will be a line, but Austin to, I don't know, Honolulu, there's not a line because you can't take the interstate that way. Right. So those are just some real-world examples of graphs. They're super helpful. So the setup for our problem today is, let's say you have to do a group project for your class, right? And
come on in.
Barely started. Let's say you have to do a group project for your class, and you have to be a group of three people, okay? And there's some number of people in your class, and you're like, okay, well, what's, like, the worst kind of group? The worst kind of group is when two people are best friends, and there's one stranger, because then the stranger, like, just can't get in there, right? The best friends are going to do all of it. So you don't want to do that. And you also maybe don't want to do something where, like, one person is friends with both of these people, but they don't know each other, because then you've got like this keystone, weird, kingmaker type dynamic going on. So what you really like to make your committee of three people, or your group of three people, is either for all three people to be friends, like pairwise with each other, or for all three people to not be friends, to be strangers with each other. So, we can do this photograph, right? So here's me, and here's Corey. And here's, I was going to say glasses, but you weren't wearing glasses, but there's glasses. So I don't know your name, so I'm going to call you glasses. And stripes. So if I was going to say, let's say I had these four people and I wanted to make this group, I'd be like, okay, well, how can I make this group? Well, Yen and Corey know each other. So let's do this red line here. But Yen doesn't know glasses or stripes. That's why their names are glasses and stripes. These blue lines here. And what am I looking for? I'm looking for three people who all know each other, or three people who all don't know each other. So I'm looking for either a red triangle or a blue triangle. In this case, I can assume that Corey knows glasses. And I don't know if you guys know each other, so I might have a blue triangle here, or I might not. Right. In this case, the glasses and stripes aren't friends, which you might not be. You're kind of sitting far apart from each other. Then that wouldn't be a good group, right? Me, glasses, and stripes. Because, oh no, sorry. In this example, they do know each other, and I'm the one left out. So that sucks for me. Terrible group. And then Corey maybe knows stripes. But I said Corey doesn't know glasses. So here we've got an example of four people, and I couldn't get that group that I wanted. I couldn't get that group of three. So the question is, how many people do I need to add to ensure that I have such a group of three? Is I just try to do teeny tiny examples first and convince myself of something and then try to do a proof. So let's try to do 5 and see if it works. So I'm trying to do is color all the edges, fill in every single edge, complete graph means every vertex is connected to every other vertex. So color in every single edge so that prove that it has to exist. So in order to reach that goal, I'm just going to try to make it not exist as far as I can. Good? All right. Sorry, you keep looking at me with this, like, face. All right, so let's just add another one. And I could have made that red if I want. This is just sort of us playing around with an example. This is red, so, oh, no, I don't want to make this. Notation with this KN thing, it actually means is there a red K3 or a blue K3? So what number do I need to ensure that there's a red K3 or a blue K3? Cool. Alright, so 12. Do we think 12 will work? Nods or head shakes? 10? 8? 6? So not to give it away or anything, but the answer is in fact 6. And a couple of you already knew that. Let me just finish this one somehow. It's sort of hard when you are just trying to do it to make no triangles. See, I just made a triangle here. So here's an example of coloring the 5 so that there aren't any triangles, red or blue triangles. And so you can see, like, there's a little blue triangle here, but that's not what we're concerned about, right? We're concerned about, and that's why that was a good question, is what happens with the vertices, right? It doesn't matter, like, what's going on in this, like, crossing in between part. I'm just looking at this vertex, and this vertex. Do they make a red or blue triangle? Do these make a red or blue triangle? This doesn't count because, or this doesn't count because there's no vertices here. All right, so kind of gave it away, slash some of you already knew that the answer is 6, but now the question is, well, okay, like, sure, the answer is 6. We can draw something. In fact, I drew a 5 thing there where you have to have a red or blue triangle, but just because you can draw an example doesn't mean that that's, like, the end-all, be-all actual proof, right? Like, you need to prove things in math. So here's plain theorem. I'll just write it down. K R 3 3. So let's do the proof of this. Alright, so to do this proof, we need to somehow prove that there has to be one of those red or blue triangles, right? Somehow, no matter how I color my 6 vertices, there's got to be a red or blue triangle. So we're going to use something called the pigeonhole principle, which I love. I love this name because if you Wikipedia it, and you look for a like, or not Wikipedia, Google image search it, pigeonhole principle, the first picture that comes up is like a bunch of birds in holes. And one of the holes has two birds in it. It's super funny. And I love it. Laugh now. Thank you. Okay. This is not that serious, guys. Okay. So now I'll tell you what the pigeonhole principle is. Instead of it's just a picture with birds. So the idea is if you have N holes. Literally, the principle has both birds and holes in it. So if I have N holes and N birds, in fact, they are pigeons, and I have more pigeons than holes, then one hole, at least one hole, contains two pigeons. At least one of these holes contains two edges. But in fact, if you think about it for just like a little bit, at least one of these holes contains three edges. Okay? Because, I mean, you can, if you wanted to, you could just list out all of the possible colorings, right? Five blue ones, four blue ones and one red one, three blue ones and two red ones. And you could convince yourself that there is a color edges. And it could be more than three edges, right? Like I said, they could all be blue. But the point is that there's at least three blue edges or three red edges. No matter how you color these five things, one of those two statements will be true. So it's from the pigeonhole principle. So let's just color things in. From before, when we were doing this, and I was doing it poorly, what we were trying to do is avoid making one of those blue or red triangles, right? Because what we're trying to do is prove that you have to do it. So let's try our hardest not to do it. So in this case, I've got these three red edges, and I know if I connected these with a red edge, well then I definitely have a red triangle, so let's not do that. Let's connect this with a blue one. And let's connect this one. So now we run into a problem. And the problem is, what color do we connect? Color this edge. If we color it red, then I've got a red triangle right here. And if I color it blue, then I have a blue triangle right here. So no matter how you color that missing edge, you're going to have a red or blue triangle. And that's it. That's how we prove that R33 equals 6. It's named after this guy who died from jaundice. I didn't even define it. I put it here. So it's the number you need for the complete graph on n vertices, and complete graph means you have n vertices and you draw edges between each one. So so that if you color it with two colors, in this case red and blue, you either ensure a red K3, which is a triangle, or a blue K3. So that's that part. So that's sort of like your very light introduction to Ramsey theory. And then we'll just do a little bit more. Also, there was this advertisement, if you didn't see it earlier, the Putnam is a like competitive exam like the AMC or the AIME for college students. So you could think about doing it.
It's fun. Okay. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, I hear it's fun. I didn't do it as an undergrad, but a lot of my friends did it. So
that's cool.
So that's 3, 3, 6. And I'm just writing down a few of them. You could probably prove this one in your spare time if you wanted, after 4, 6, 9. This one would be a little bit harder for you to prove. But the funny thing about this is that, like, this was super easy, right? We all did this in a very short period of time, and we're all on board with it. Like, they get super hard to compute really fast. So I had to write down this quote because I loved it so much. So Eridish is this, like, big old mathematician. He's a big deal. So here's the quote. He asks us to imagine an alien race vastly more powerful than us landing on Earth and demanding the value of R55. So remember, this is the Ramsey number, so you would have a complete one of these in blue or red. R55, or they'll destroy the planet. So Eridish says we should marshal all our computers and all our mathematicians, and we should all attempt to find the value. But if they ask for R66, then we should attempt to destroy the aliens. So it's like super hard stuff. And I wrote down 3 of them, and some of them are known, like a handful, maybe a dozen are known for this two-color thing where you put in various like numbers here. But for basically all of the rest of them, they're just huge bounds. Like, this is an active area of research that people still do today, is trying to put better bounds on what the Ramsey numbers are going to be. No, it's cool. So one question that you might have naturally, like this one was pretty clear that eventually, like when I said 12, you guys were like, oh yeah, for sure, there will be something like that. But one question that might occur is, like, do Ramsey numbers exist? Like, 3, 3, yeah, you could believe that. But, like, the bigger and bigger these complete graphs get, right, like, the more and more complicated they are, the less likely it feels like that you would find one of these lying in, like, a graph somewhere. Right? Like, this is crazy looking. I think I got it all. So the next kind of proof we're going to do is just that Ramsey numbers exist. Yeah.
I think you missed the top row C to the bottom row. No, the other row.
Ah, nice.
There's another one.
What? We all know what complete graphs are, is what you're telling me. I should mention before I go into the next proof is that you can also do things like this. Right. You can add more colors. That is exactly how you think it would be. And similarly, there are some results there, and there's a lot of active research in that one, too.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So can you add, like, directions to the edges? Because, like, I guess you assume that, like knowing is, like, perplexed. I forgot whatever one's called.
Being a
like,
friend.
Can you make these maps of some kind?
Right, like, are you asking if you can make them directed?
Yeah.
And then maybe there'd be, like, another one that way, perhaps?
Yeah.
Why not?
Is there anything I can do if you said?
Let's see. So I have multicolor, I wrote down, and I wrote infinite graphs. Oh, you can use infinite graphs. I don't know. I mean, I feel like there should be, though. That seems like something reasonable. Like, you could ask about, say, something like, are there cycles that are all the same color? Which is the same thing as a triangle thing, but, yeah. Those are some good questions to ask. That would be a fun project. You should just do that. Why don't you do that? I mean, you must have some intuition because they asked a question. I don't get one. All right, so what were we doing? Oh, yeah, we were showing that Ramsey numbers exist. So, are we okay with proofs by induction? I'll show you. Yeah? All right. It's cool. Just, like, ride along with it. Go for it. All right, so let's do a proof by induction. So with proofs by induction, what's the first thing we have to do? Remember, these things means that there's a complete K, complete graph on R vertices, or a complete graph on S vertices that are all colored the same color. So what would a complete graph on one vertex look like? Well, nothing. There's no edges. That's it. So in fact, complete this and this are just because if you have this, well, definitely you have a complete graph on a complete blue one graph or something. Complete red one graph. That's what it says. So I'll write the hypothesis. Sometimes people don't write the inductive hypothesis, and it totally drives me nuts. I don't know if that drives you nuts. They do, like, professional mathematicians do it all the time. I'm like, what are you assuming? So R of R minus 1 S R S minus 1. So like I said before, we don't actually know what these numbers are, right? Like, one way to show something exists is to compute it directly. But since we don't have a way of doing that, like, how else can we show that something exists? Well, we can bound it and say, well, it can't be bigger than this number. Well, if it can't be bigger than that number, then it better be some number less than, right? So that exists. By saying a Ramsey number exists, what I'm really saying is it's not infinity. You don't have to go on forever in order to find one of these. Okay, so let's assume they exist. Then a claim. We're going to try to bound this guy, right, to show that it exists. So you kind of found it in, like, the first thing you would possibly think about. So I've told you that we're going to use these. So what could the bound maybe be?
Kind of like the triangle equation, adding those two.
Adding them, exactly. That's the bound. And this is not a great bound. If you think about it back into what the actual question is rather than sort of in the equations, we've got like a complete graph on some number of vertices, got another complete graph on some number of vertices, and they each have these like conditions on them, right? So then I'm going to make a super huge graph, right? Because when you add two graphs in this way, like you're adding tons and tons and tons of edges in between them. So this bound should probably work. So let's do it. Okay, so let's make a graph. Just build some complete graph like this. And then we'll color it. So here's my like super huge complete graph. And then it's gonna be like edges all over the place. But I'll pick my special vertex B, and then I'll split the rest of the vertices into all of my blue neighbors and all of my red neighbors. So it's called B and R. So what I know is that I've got some number of blue vertices, right? Those are all the blue neighbors. And I've got some number of red vertices, those are all the red neighbors. And then I have my original one. And I know that's equal to the total number of vertices, right? This right here. My next step is sort of similar to when we did that pigeonhole step, kind of like it. Right? So I have something plus one is equal to the sum of these two things. So one of these two things must be true. Wrote down the inequality under these, I can look at it. And the idea, I mean, either B is bigger than that number or R is bigger than that number. And why that's true, well, just assume that both of them are true. Right? Assume that B is less than that number and R is strictly less than that number. So then this just can't be true. Because this is 1. 1 is less than 2 is really the reason why this works. Okay, so good. So let's assume that it's this first one, right? Like they're basically the same, right? Either one is fine. So assume so what this means is the number of blue neighbors I have over here is bigger than or equal to the Ramsey number that gives me, say, a blue KR minus 1 or a red S. I'm making sure I got everything in the right order. Yep. Okay. So, if this whole thing over here, I'm just going to call it B again. So if all of these neighbors right here have one of those red KS's, then we're done. Because remember, we're trying to show that this big graph either has a red KS or a blue KR. So that's fine. So now let's assume that it doesn't, and assume that it has, if it doesn't have a red KS, then it has to have a blue KR minus 1. What I'm looking for is that my big graph either has a blue KR or a red KS. Okay, on the right track.
Well, you're just making B to be your blue.
Yeah. See it? So. best way to do it is like an example. So here, let's say I have a blue K3. Well, the way we chose B is that it's all the things who are neighbors that are blue with this B. So that just gave me a blue K4. So in this case, like you said, like this has a KR minus 1 that's blue. You add that B, and now we have a KR. So just from the way we did it, that means there has to be a blue KR, or, you know, if you do the other one, you'll end up with a red KS. Okay? That's it, guys. That's all that was. We went, like, way faster than I was expecting. So that's Ramsey theory. I don't know. It's really cool stuff. I was going to use another word, but I'm not. And, yeah, this sort of thinking. So what did we do? We used the pigeonhole principle. We did some induction. We did a little bit of this, like, inequality stuff. And then we did this last, like, clever little stuff. So it's, like, a lot of stuff, but it's, like, doable and, I think, exciting and fun. I have a question. Yes?
So that gives you, like, a nice upper bound. Can you get lower bounds, though?
Yes, you can get lower bounds. They're harder, but you can do them. A big thing that people are doing is using computer programs, because you can just
enumerate all of it.
Like the way that we did it at the beginning when I was just drawing all those pictures and trying to show things that didn't work. Like, you can just get a computer to do that.
But we can't just have, like, simple lower bounds, like, low, it's lower than R minus 1.
You're saying, like, something like this? Yeah. I mean, that's definitely... That's true. Yeah.
But you want better lower bound.
But, yes, that is an immediate and pretty good lower bound. I mean, if you're already at, like, 9 or 25, you can keep going. So.
Do we know R55 or not?
No. That's the one when we have to get all the world's mathematicians and all the computers together. And then R66 is the one when we kill the aliens.
So this might be kind of a dumb question, but when you're doing research and you're running these computer programs, how does the computer, like, determine if there's a complete graph within, like, one of those sizes?
Yeah. No, that's legit. So I didn't say this at the beginning, but the way we actually think, I've been drawing pictures for graphs, but the way we actually think about graphs is that vertices, and let's pretend that we're computers, right? They're going to reset. There's just going to be, like, dots, and then edges are just ordered pairs. Right, so, like, this graph right here that I just wrote down in this manner is A1, A2, A3, A5, and that's it. So if you want to do a computer to do it, you could make an array, let's say, and just say, these are all the red edges, these are all the blue edges, see if these actually correspond.
And how good does it just get? Because it seems, like, from the way you described it, it seems pretty straightforward, just, like, iterate through a bunch of numbers until, like, all the vertices have edges to the rest of the vertices.
So the, like, these, like, the lower bounds, are, when they're small, are pretty easy. Right? But then, I think it's really hard, like, I said that it's easy for computers. I think it takes a lot of time because graphs get really big, and think about how many edges are in a graph, right, like a big graph. So these get in, like, the last one that I checked, the bound was, like, somewhere like 120 to, like, 180. So what that means is that they found, like, after, yeah, so you can make an upper bound by doing, like, sort of math stuff. And you can make lower bounds by finding these counterexamples. But the hard part, like, we did R33 equals 6. The hard part wasn't finding a graph of size 6 that does it. The hard part was proving that it is, in fact, 6, that 6 is sufficient. Yeah.
So the Ramsey numbers are not very big, they're just really hard to prove?
Yeah, they're hard to prove, and I can get there. But they aren't like a million. Yeah. I mean, unless you put a million here or something. I mean, obviously, you can put any number you want in them.
Yeah.
But the Ramsey numbers I'm interested in are very smaller. Yeah.
I guess I'm just going to cut on that.
Yeah.
You say if you wanted to try all possibilities, if you had a graph of always say 100 vertices, and then between any two vertices, you can have a middle of two, right? So you have like n choose, you have 100 choose two pairs of vertices, and then you have to take two to that power, which is impossible.
So, it's easy for little things, but yeah, that's exactly it. It's hard for big things.
But. What about finding some graphs other than complete graphs? Like
a triangle or
something?
A triangle is a complete graph.
Yeah.
So
like
a cycle or a square. Yeah, so that's also a thing. I can tell you a little bit about my research. So I do something called random theory. So that's where you have like a ton of vertices and then and then with some probability, you assign, like you'll add in the edge or not. So one thing you can do is like, well, what's the probability that a graph has a triangle in it, or a square, or a pentagon? And that's like a thing, and that depends on the probability, right? Like, is the probability bigger than 1/2, and the size of the graph is some certain size, then for sure you're going to have a triangle. But that's all, the random group theory that I do is all probabilistic, rather than this stuff is deterministic. So finding cycles or finding other sort of various subgraphs, I don't know personally if like people interested in Ramsey theory do that, but I do know that people in random group theory do it. But we don't do it deterministically. We're not like, oh, well, the probability is this, and then it's almost certain that this happens. But yeah, that is also a thing to think about. Cool. These are all great questions. Yeah. I should have said at the beginning, feel free to interrupt me.
Do we know any, like, because we know R3 and that, do we know any of them, or like we added the third thing?
Yeah, like if you have
R3
yeah. Yeah, we know that. I don't know the numbers, but it is known. Yeah. And there is a proof also that, like, you know how I just said that RS exists? Like, that's actually true for any number of colors. And I'll just write down the map, and maybe you can convince yourself of it. So R. So let's say C1, C2, Cn. Right, so let's say we have n colors and I have some number. So the bound is, let's see, RC1. And then Cn is 2. Double check if I wrote this down. So this one looks a little funny. So this one has n entries, and this one here has n minus 1 entries. So like you could do R333 and bound it by R3, 6. So that's just what this says. And so notice that the last entry has put these two together like that. I guess I'll sketch the proof since we're here anyway. The idea is that you make this size graph and then just like color it with these n colors and then pretend that like yellow and green are the same color. Just go colorblind for a little bit. And so either one of these exists, like C1 to Cn minus 2, which means that it exists over here, or one of these exists in your two color thing, and then you have what you wanted. So I just said that out loud. Maybe I'll drawing the picture. I learn everything through like poorly drawn pictures. And then just pretend. I'll advertise myself right now, do some self-promotion. My blog is bakingandmath.com, and I do a fair amount of math blogging that should hopefully be accessible at the undergrad level of current research in math. So it's like super hard stuff that I try to, I don't try to dumb it down, I just try to explain it. So you should check it out. It's great. Also, I post about baking, but people are not that interested in that. So.